You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
You are listening to the IT and the D Show, and we are still hungover from episode 200, so you know what that means. This is episode 201.
Woo.
We are recording here live at Podcast Detroit in Royal Oak, Michigan. Guest today, David Hines. He is the proprietor of Valiant Films. Should have a very, very fun conversation. Also, third-time offender Corey Russell's in the house talking about four-time.
He was at the Russell. He was at the Ferndale Studio.
Blackfin.
The
Blackfin.
When we did the Blackfin live broadcast. Yeah. And now here, yeah.
Corey's in the house talking about Fan World. Should be a fun, fun conversation.
So, dumb question, if you're listening to us at least. Do you have internet at home? If you do, then chances are you have a Wi-Fi router. And if you have a Wi-Fi router, that means that cyber criminals can hack into your home Wi-Fi network to access data from your connected personal devices like credit card numbers, private photos, and more. Introducing Norton Core, a secure Wi-Fi router for the connected home. Norton Core discovers connected personal devices, identifies vulnerabilities, and helps secure them. If a device is breached, Norton Core quarantines the threat all on its own. Get the security you need and speed that you want with Norton Core. Go to Norton.com/IT&D to save $30 if you pre-order before July 1st. That's Norton.com/IT&D.
Norton. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt. That's Gary. You're Bob and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Gosh, where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What size?
Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to this.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Stein of Big Pump Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
Hey, everybody. This is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of Living Dead. A lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not so much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Jet Striker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys. Oh!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. This is the one and only IT in the D Show, and we have made it all the way to episode 201. It's really awkward to say that happens
the week after 200.
Yeah. That's how it goes. We are broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. I almost forgot where we were. This is Bob the Sales
it's
Guy.
That malt liquor drink you're drinking over there. I might have you a little befuddled.
We're enjoying delicious, the refreshing citrus beverage known as Zima.
Because it's bad.
I'm Bob the Sales Guy. That's Dave the Geek. Neri the FNG is back from Burning Man and alive to tell the tale.
The regional, and it's kind of barely back. So as you can hear by my voice,
he's physically present. Mentally remains to be seen.
You sound like this 70-year-old auntie that's been smoking for like 47
Dude,
years.
I've been yelling at hippies all week. I mean, come on.
Bob, hand me my Virginia Slims.
Randy, I do the Twitters. Walker is also in the studio. Find us online, itinthed.com, and subscribe to us on our, and follow us on all our socials, and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Yes.
So, hey, this episode...
Oh, and actually, speaking of which, I did make sure we've got both us and the entire network out on Podbean, Acast. I think I submitted us to like 12 new directories.
Are we on iHeartRadio yet?
No, that's about a two-week process, and that just started last week, so we're getting there.
Got it. Because I want to, yeah.
I'm on iHeartRadio.
Exactly. This segment's brought to you by our good friends at the Dollar Shave Club. It's time to step up your routine with an incredible game-changing shave from Dollar Shave Club. And I am the first one to admit that they have, when I order
have you made it to your second blade yet?
No, I have not. I'm still on blade one. Not Wesley Snipes. I'm still on Blade One from a month ago.
No Blade Runner.
No, and I still, you know, granted I have a goatee and sideburns, but I still, you know, it's tough to shave.
Shave her clothes before you kiss her.
Yeah, totally. And I'm still on Blade One. These are the best blades I've ever bought. I'm talking the expensive ones, too. Well worth every single penny. And guess what? For a limited time, you can get your first month, and they say four blades is a month. I think they're lying. You get their first month of the executive razor with a tube of their shave butter for $5 free shipping. After that, razors are a few bucks a month. $15 value for $5. You get a nice handle, a full cassette of four cartridges, tube of shave butter. Do us a favor. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/ITinTheD altogether. That's dollarshaveclub.com/ITinTheD. Nice airplane reset there.
I'm missing something, but
there you go. All together.
Go home and watch Airplane. You'll get it.
It's a totally different experience.
It's just
altogether.
A pilot. It's just totally a pilot, though. It is. Anyway.
So we did. We survived episode 200. We survived the chaos and mayhem following episode 200.
Sucks that I missed it. I was like, of all the things to miss from my 2 years on the show now,
there were
episode 200.
It was all the drinking. We went down the street to Selena's. And had ourselves a fine little time.
Nice.
If we want to jump into the, I guess, the mother of all data breaches.
Well, so real quick. So because of the holiday coming up in July, the Ann Arbor event is going to be 7-Eleven.
At a 7-Eleven?
It's going to be at a 7-Eleven in Ann Arbor. No.
Sweet.
It's going to be July 11th, because obviously we're not doing an event on
July
4th.
Playing Ice Cube the whole time. 7-Eleven.
And then the following week, our event will be at Nancy's downtown again. So it'll be good to be back there.
Just so we're clear, not 7-Eleven, at Connor O'Neill's.
Oh.
Thanks for keeping us honest, Randy. Yeah. Thanks for keeping us honest.
So, on 7-Eleven, not at 7-Eleven.
One of the political parties, well, we're not going to name names. Well, we can name names. It's GOP. Their data firm that collects basically all the data of all the peoples.
Of all the things.
Of everyone.
Roughly 198 million of them.
Isn't that basically every registered voter in the United States?
They said it's something like 75, 78%, something like
lot.
That, if I recall correctly.
That's
it's nuts.
Yeah, they were storing internal documents on a publicly accessible Amazon server.
Genius!
Like, I don't know what's... How does that even come to play? I mean, you talk about like the U.S. is putting in their a CISO.
Hey boss.
Yeah.
Boss, we need to put this stuff on a secure server. Well, what's it cost? Well, like 10 times the amount of the other server?
I think this was actually misconfiguration. So they had said that there's 1.1 terabytes of data that was unsecured, which is roughly 10 billion pages of text.
Yeah.
However, there was another 24 terabytes of data that had been configured correctly on the same repository. So basically this was somebody effed up and somebody messed up pretty big and basically all those records containing birth date, mailing address.
Oh, yeah, birth date, address, name, phone number, basically your own little identity theft in a box.
Dude, I could start like a war dialer and start calling people based on that number.
Hey, did you – just was a war dialer just say, hey, did you know that you were in the data breach that the GOP let happen?
So the thing is
– if you're mad, press one.
So this thing's called the Data Trust, and they've received $6.7 million in funding during the RNC during the 2016 cycle.
It was even crazier is like looking at some of those file names in that repository. Like they're working with all of the big name kind of shadow money brokers in Washington for their data. It's they all share data, they all share money, and it's all collected here at this server, it seems. Yeah. So I'm sure the Democrats have one too. I mean, this is not necessarily a GOP problem.
Oh, no, I'm sure
it's probably
it is.
The same one, but they just found this one.
It just hasn't been leaked yet.
The Democrats keep theirs on Hillary Clinton's private email server. Oh, shit.
Where's the back?
There we go. No, and we talk weekly how none of us really care. Like, you know, there's no one beating down the doors right now in D.C. going, you leaked my data. Like, you know, because nothing's happened.
I don't know how many people know about this yet.
I'd like to think that at least someone that's my – well, all right, we'll jump into that one. You know how people aren't informed. A study went out that pretty much proved everything that I've thought.
98% of college students would give up their friends' personal information.
For what? I mean, is there some kind of reward here maybe?
For a free pizza.
Oh, snap, dude. For a pizza? Uh-huh. I'll help you move, bro.
for a pizza.
Is it like at least a Jets pizza? Or are we talking like some Papa John's or Domino's?
Did not specify the kind of
did
pizza.
Did not specify, like, right.
Just free pizza.
Like if it's like a Little Sleezers or something, you just need new
pizza. So do you get a hot and ready, yeah. You know, that you can have like their first name. If it's like a Jets, all right, you can get like name and address.
If it's like a Bigalora, I'll just give you my DNA. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go rip some of their hair out and hand it to you.
98%.
Yeah, seriously, 98%. You
know, and they did 3,000 people, MIT did, so it's not like it was a small sampling.
Oh, yeah, and they said it was
it's not like it was Family Feud sampling. Well, you know?
But the weird thing is that they said so 94% would still do it if there were no reward. So there's only a 4% delta. And then out of both that 94% and the 98%, they said they figured out that like roughly 6% in there gave like a fake email address.
Right.
Like they didn't hand over their friend's real email address, but still.
Well, social engineers are going to have a field day now. Like, hey, what's a password on your admin box? Not telling you. Free pizza.
So basically what we're learning is that the GOP wanted hundreds of millions of pizzas.
Exactly.
Right. And maybe they got that. It's kind of like free taco day if the Tigers score McNuggets six day, runs or McNuggets.
Just following Malcolm on his free food tour. Right.
You know? Maybe these like African princes from like these weird West African countries could basically say, hey, we'll give you a free pizza if you send $150 by Western Union right now.
Yeah, right. That'll be the new Nigerian phone scam or email scam.
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's terrible.
But if you want to talk about, you know, like polls and stupid people selling out your friends for a free pizza.
Oh, mother of God. I seriously, I'm really hoping this is like not true. And I know it's been verified and I know they went back and double checked it, but I'm still in my head, I'm pretending this is not true.
So let's go down. You're asked a question. Where does chocolate milk come from? 7%. 7% of Americans, which equates to 16.4 million people, thinks chocolate milk.
Had to make Steve Harvey say, show me brown cow.
Ding. Wait, but what about the ones with the black and white spots? Do they make chocolate milk too?
It's half and half. That's it.
Yes. But here's my take. When I read that, I go, wait. So someone's taking the time to do a survey to ask people.
There was probably a grant paid to do that survey.
Where chocolate milk comes from. And then they call. And here's the thing. Like if somebody calls me and go, where's chocolate milk come from?
Meyer.
I think 7%. No, right.
Nestle.
I think 7% of people are trolls. And I think there's no way.
You know,
there's no way.
You'd think that. But if they did a study back in the 90s, the Department of Agriculture said 1 in 5 adults did not know that hamburgers are made from beef. That's 20%. That's like there are what, 7 of us in the room here? That means one of you do not know where hamburgers come from.
Where do they come from?
McDonald's. From Hamburg, yes, from Germany.
Right? Well, if this was like 80s Burger King, I guess they would be right though, right? The kangaroo. Yeah.
And then another team interviewed a bunch of 4th, 5th, and 6th graders and found that more than half of them didn't know that pickles were cucumbers. A fourth grader. That's what, 9 years old?
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
It's yeah.
And that was the quote. It says, we still get kids who are surprised that a French fry is a potato or that a pickle is a cucumber.
We were just arguing last week about whether or not tater tots were.
Tater tots are not fries.
If in the context of being on a list where they list fries, cheese fries, and chili fries, so just fries with condiments, if that crap is on the list, then tots can be on the list.
Fixins don't believe those should be on the list.
Tots
either.
Aren't fixins.
No, but the ones with the fixins shouldn't be on there either.
Then what about like hash browns?
That wasn't on the list.
American fries?
Yes.
Our fries?
Yes.
What are American fries?
American
only
fries?
Those home freedom fries.
Like freedom fries?
No,
like
those weren't on the list either.
Home fries?
No, those were not on the list. Those are potato cubes. Those aren't fries.
But aren't French fries just potato rectangles?
Yes, but they're fries.
So squared potatoes?
No. Waffle fries are fries.
But they're definitely not long and skinny like rectangles.
Right.
Chips?
No.
I follow you in there. Chips fish are not fries. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah, chips. Those kind of chips. Yeah, absolutely. Those are on the list. Steak fries, yes.
Oh, steak fries, yeah.
Not
we're not tots. Call fry or not
so
fry.
If they're rectangular, apparently even semicircles, yes.
Tots are just some weird irregular. It's kind of like chicken rings from White Castle.
What about those smileys?
No. No.
What about Miley's?
So while we're talking food and burgers and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to jump to.
An interesting, I would say interesting. I think we all know it's inevitable that automation is going to start taking place in the fast food industry. And a company that
expand, already exists to some degree, yeah.
Company that just got Momentum Machines, got about $20 million in funding.
Congrats.
Basically is automated
good for you
the burger process and can spit out 400 burgers an hour.
Wrapped, bagged, and served.
Perfectly cooked.
With 400 an hour.
Chopped onions, tomatoes, and lettuce?
To order.
That's crazy.
To order.
Yeah.
Well, then finally I can
where's
actually,
your $15 an hour now?
What's even worse?
Designing the code for this company.
We're going to welcome it, too. We're going to be like, yes, sweet. Look at that robot making my hamburger.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
But it will get my freaking order right.
It will.
Nobody complained about the car industry. The car industry has been half robotics. And
everybody complained about the car industry, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
You're forgetting that.
Not anymore. What are you going to do? Protest?
Right.
It works real good. That worked out great. Yeah,
we're not going to protest.
What happens if they have robot protesters?
Oh. I think they already do their own Twitter.
Yes. I was going to say Reddit, but yeah.
Yeah, I got we always talk about the sending someone a bag of dicks and glitter bombs, and we never did it. And the poop in the box.
As far as we're admitting on the air, no, we've never.
No,
done
never.
It.
We've never done it to anyone.
Never.
This one, I think it's so beyond stupidity.
It's amazing.
It has to be done. Imagine, because how elated are you? It's Christmas at my house when I see an Amazon box on my door, and I forgot what I ordered 2 days ago.
Drunken Amazon?
Yes.
So that's basically twice a week.
Oh, my God. I did the drunkest Amazon order I ever did in my life.
Wait.
Yes, the drunkest Amazon.
Like in the context of, what was it, 40 cases of toilet paper?
Yes.
That showed up at your front door?
Not cases. It was one big, huge. I was so excited for that until I opened it. Do you ever see the video of like the four guys drunk at Oktoberfest, and it's got like the Yoshi where you put your legs in, but it's like the guy's legs. And
yeah.
So it's like a midget German man carrying me on his back.
Right.
I bought that, that costume.
And yet you yelled at people for posting that on your wall last year because you were sick of seeing it.
And I finally bought it 2 weeks ago.
You're such an idiot.
When it didn't even make sense to buy it.
Well, but now you have it.
Now I
for
have
September.
It. And it's as funny as it looks on the YouTube video. So this is from our friends at Prank Candles. And basically what they did is what they started doing was they made like apple pie candle. And then once you get past like an hour, it turns to like fart.
See, I see an alternative use for this that I don't think they've really thought through yet. Like, because in their minds.
Hold on. So they have like three flavors of candles. They have fresh roses to sweaty butt. Then they have vanilla to vomit candles. So you're like, candle, roses. And then all of a sudden, what? Smells like puke.
See, and their whole thing is you're pranking people with them.
So now this thing is.
Their target demographic should be guys Are you sick of your wife showing up every week with three damn new candles?
Yes!
Start planting these around the house and break her of her candle habit.
Why does the apple pie smell like farts now? But this is it's kind of like those – is it Russian or Polish, those dolls where you keep opening it and there's another doll
inside? Oh, they're Matryoshka dolls?
Yeah. Russian. Yeah. So this is – it's a box filled with peanuts. Every box is just full of peanuts. And there's four boxes inside of boxes.
I did that once. To my niece at Christmas. We like got her like a little thing.
Right.
And I built that. I built a box inside of another box full of packing peanuts, inside of another box full of packing peanuts, inside of a fourth box full of packing peanuts.
Dude, that is so mean.
Inside of a giant ass fifth box full of packing peanuts.
That is so mean.
My father
She's
did
my
that.
Favorite niece.
My father did that once as a kid, and at the very bottom, in fact, there was actually a note that said see other box.
Oh, and look amazing. What happened to you. Look what happened.
But the beauty of this thing is
normal.
Right,
you
C-Box 2.
The beauty of this thing, it's $10. It's called Ship Your Friends Nothing.
Well, because it's cardboard and packing peanuts.
Right, but the time.
So it's
you know
roughly
37.
Probably put together by robots.
Fine. Great. Better than me monkeying around for 2 hours putting this
oh, no, it
together.
Took me forever to put
That's
the thing together.
Saying.
Yeah.
Your time is. So now we can. It says ship your friends. I don't think friends. We heard there's still people talking. So like they might. Yeah.
Can we put a candle
in the
box?
Oh.
In the middle?
They get apple pie. Oh, I saw apple pie candles from a vendor.
Oh. Ah.
Guys don't like candles, also. Yeah.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we always get in trouble.
And our partners barely like us.
Because we do. Yes. We heard that people are bitter that we still mock them.
Yeah. Like C-level executives still mad at us.
Like legit, like rage quit. Like just angry.
Whoa.
So, Dave, you might be interested in this one. A new they have to terminalize everything and make a name for it. And now the new one is brain hacking.
Yeah.
And you know,
like what was wrong with gamification?
Well, no, because what the thing is that there's people that try to – like the games that we play, like the Clash Royale, Clash of Clans and all that, they always send you a little push update to say, hey, your army's ready. It's like, you kiss my ass. I'll play when I want to play. But they like – it's all about these apps that are designed to draw you back into your phone.
This story
so when
is
you
really,
figure out, they pull you back
This
in.
Story is really interesting for me because I was out 10 days on a lake for this regional Burning Man event, not using my phone at all. Facebook starts sending me text messages. Your friend Dana just posted something on Facebook. Check or go check it out. So I'm like, I'm getting Facebook is trying to pull me back in because it notices that I'm not a daily active user.
Now I've noticed
I get that all the time from Instagram and Twitter going so and so hasn't posted in a while.
I get
which is stupid. I
like
don't care.
I get email notifications from you know my first Facebook account that I hardly ever you know I don't really use anymore. I get email notifications almost on a daily, if not multiple times a day basis that, hey, so-and-so just posted blah, 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 blah. So-and-so just threw it. Because they want you to come back in.
This article was so weird, though, talking about different techniques that app developers are using basically to keep you in.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the constant scroll on Facebook. It's like, yeah, it's great. It constantly scrolls, but you basically just keep on scrolling looking for something good.
Scrolling.
Well, it's basically to hijack people's minds and create habit and to get a reward, you know, and it's, yeah, exactly. Push the shiny red button.
Mm-hmm.
And they got us. They got every one of us, hook, line, and sinker.
They wired a researcher to a machine to detect his stress and put his phone just out of his reach. And people start sending him text messages. And every time he got a text message but couldn't go for his phone, anxiety spiked. So basically this has caused
Dude, I don't
us,
doubt it.
The average American checks their phone every 15 minutes
now. Yeah, I don't believe it.
Which is
Snapchat caught start. I didn't know this existed, but it's called Streaks. So not in your underpants, Randy. it's basically if you text someone every day, multiple days in a row, you have a streak. So what happened was kids wanted to make sure the streak was good. I have 21 days or whatever, and it was just a way to bring them back in. You know, like this is they own us,
man,
and
so
we're all in it. We're all in.
I'm trying to figure out why my 7-year-old knows what Snapchat is. Because like when we were loading up the iPads for their trip that they're on, he came because they have to get my approval to install anything, and he was like, "Dad, he's like, I want to install Snapchat, but I don't know which one of these apps it is because there's a billion different ones that say Snapchat." And I was like, "Number one, no, you're 7, and number two, how in the hell do you even know what Snapchat is?" And apparently, like some of his little friends in his grade, he's in first grade, some of his little friends have Snapchat accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where are those parents? Where?
Well, Snapchat doesn't have to be about boobs. Come on.
All the kids. Never mind. Every one of the kids. All of them.
Nope. Filters. The filters are the big thing now. That's what everyone.
Why is a tent on a picture a big freaking deal?
It's the ones where they get like. They'll turn you into a rapper. They'll put sunglasses on you.
Or a bunny rabbit. Yes, cute.
Or Tom's new one where you can put a cat on your head.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But that's the thing with Facebook. What does Facebook do for all of us? You get affirmation. You get your likes. And you're like, and you check all the time. I watched a lady in front of me because she was posting stuff from Neil Diamond concert. She kept looking to see if she got likes. Kept looking, see if she got likes. She must have checked her phone 30 times during the concert. And I checked it every time because it's not like it was the most exciting concert in the world. It's good,
Neil Diamond,
right? But I'll be damned if she was like, oh, Susie liked it, you know. And my wife, who doesn't even have a damn Facebook account. We'll post a selfie at a restaurant. She goes, how many likes we get? Like, she's wrapped up in it and not even on the damn phone.
Well, and she doesn't – and this – you have to remember, this is the same woman who once yelled at Bob because she was not a host for an event on Facebook at their house.
This is not unusual as you think.
But she's not on Facebook. And so, like, literally I had to jump in. He's like, Dave, would you please? And I was like, no, Bo, for real. If you're not on Facebook, you can't be a host of an event. She's like, oh. I don't think he explained it to me that way. Bob's like, but I did!
This is a super interesting article. Go read it. It has Anderson Cooper in it.
Yeah.
And basically the quote that I love, and it's something we say all the time, is you don't pay for Facebook. Advertisers pay. You get it for free because your eyeballs are what's being sold.
If you're not paying for it, you are – if you're not paying for a service, you are the service.
Can we get on to some more important news?
Yeah.
We can. I heard NASA had a huge announcement.
NASA, when they make an announcement, they make an announcement.
There's been some troll in a basement at NASA waiting 30 years to write this headline.
And then, from BGR.com, a story by Mike Weiner.
Whoa, hold on. His name is Mike Weiner.
No, it might be Weiner. I'm going to say it's Weiner.
It's Weiner.
And that NASA wants to probe Uranus and search for gas.
Like mine or yours?
Uranus.
I feel like they'd have better luck with yours.
it's Uranus.
I feel like NASA's going to have to buy me dinner first. I'm sorry.
Right.
They're going to have to.
How does that editor not look at that and go,
that's Pulitzer worthy?
I'm sure that's exactly what they did.
And
Bob, we live in the city where one of the main newspapers had poop water in that headline.
It's true. And the award for best journal by a science publication goes to Mike Weiner for probing Uranus in search of gas. I got to thank my mom for it.
Thank the Academy.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back. David Hines from Valiant Films. This is the IT in the D show.
And we'll be right back.
Oh, good one.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip/Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 201. This is the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1. Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy, Dave the geek, Nuri the FNG, Randy, I do the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, because we are IT in the D. And
still aren't.
Good luck.
And you're poke, losing poke. Your voice.
Poke,
you still aren't. Poke. Hey, this segment is brought to you by Audible. Audible has the best audiobook performances, an unmatched selection, the most exclusive content. So let's say you're listening to Thrawn, the latest Star Wars novel that's out. We all are still a little bit bitter and cynical and cranky that they didn't make movies out of them, but let's say you go ahead and listen to Thrawn on Audible. You experience things like the hair raising on the back of your neck or a shiver down your spine or just like, I'm not going to lie, like just hearing the voices. It's a little bit different than just reading the book yourself. It's very, very cool because with Audible, sci-fi performance is so powerful, you can actually feel transported to another dimension even while sitting in traffic. And God knows we all need things to keep us occupied while we're sitting in traffic.
I got Jim Gaffigan, Dad is Fat. It's read by Jim Gaffigan. I'm like, how amazing is this?
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, hey, here's what you do. You start a 30-day trial and your first Audible book is free. Learn more at audible.com/IT in the D. That's audible.com/IT in the D.
Awesome. Yeah, seriously, I thought – but he doesn't deliver it. Like the timing isn't there. He's reading.
Yeah.
So you expect him to like crack jokes, but it's funny You know what I mean? But it's, yeah, like, it's his voice. You expect it like stand-up voice, but it's just his voice.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's actually him reading, not delivering it as if he's sitting there with a mic.
Right, right, right. Yeah. But no, still, sure, it's still awesome. But hey, we are joined by none other than David Hines from Valiant Films. How you doing?
Good.
Yes, yeah, so I went to this cool thing Saturday. You know, you guys had reached out and said, you know, hey, we're doing this thing over at the main art theater, yep, over here in Royal Oak. And I was like, yeah, it's right up the street. Why not? You know, we were just, you know, involved in an indie film. And so it's always fun to see little projects like that and what people, you know, their passion projects and what they're – because let's be honest, those are the things that people are really interested in doing as opposed, yeah, to their day jobs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's really cool, and it was a lot of fun. Like, I know Jay Adams came out and hung out and networked and met a lot of people. I met a lot of people. It was kind of cool. So, yeah, so, you know, talk a little bit about Valiant Films and why that event happened and what was going on.
So Valiant Films in general, where it's me, I'm David Hines, and J.B. Armstrong. We're both U of M grads. We both were in the marching band a few years apart from each other. And we kind of hit
on a nerd podcast. How fitting!
Yeah,
I'm just messing.
Hey, I was the drum major, so I was the king of the nerds.
I have no problem
with nerddom. Please,
so, so you watch Drumline and like,
of course,
with
man,
baby lotion, yeah, and Kleenex,
I'm from Metro Atlanta.
Oh,
and you know what I'm saying?
Where it's it's a thing,
man,
now. Oh,
for sure.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's my life. And then my wife played the tuba. So you know, we're banned.
Yeah, I don't know you well enough to make that joke. Okay.
All right. I probably heard it before. I didn't heard it all, but anyway. So yeah, I'm an engineer by trade, but I wanted to get into film, and I'd been checking out the independent film stuff in the area, and I knew Jay because he was in, like I said, in the marching band. He was a cymbal player. And I reached out to him. I saw some of the work that he was doing in school. He was a screen arts and cultures major. And he got back to me, and we started talking about some projects and really hit it off. And that was back in 2014. And so we decided
way
to work
back
together
in the day.
Yeah, I know. It's like forever ago.
Like when Facebook didn't continuously scroll.
Right.
Yeah, so divine intervention. We both had the same ideas about every movie, complained about the same things. You know, we were talking about Star Wars earlier. You know, right. Complaining about the same Star Wars stuff, the Marvel movies. We had the same takes on them, and so we found that we really gel in that respect. So anyway, fast forward, we came up with this idea for Solomon. Solomon is the story. We like to call it Good Will Hunting of Detroit. That's kind of what we're going for. That's the vibe. It's a young white writer meets an elderly black psychiatrist, and they built this.
Who years later gets depressed and kills himself?
Well, you know, hey, don't give it away. but yeah, so
Robin Williams joke. It was my bad. Yeah.
It's it was not a. It's an interesting story from our thought process because of, you know, all the gentrification happening in the city. You know, a lot of people have their own opinions about it, and, you know, there's good and bad with it. That's how I feel. And so we want to talk about it. We want to put it out there. It's a lot of interesting relationships people are having because of that type of thing. So that's what the story's about. We decided to have an event. I was driving to pick up some Chinese food from my favorite Chinese spot. I don't want to give them a plug out here, but
go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Shout out to Peking House. That is my favorite Chinese food on the face of the earth. So I drove by.
I feel like I need to go there.
That's
now.
That place right next to the parking garage in Royal Oak.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Never been.
Get on it, guys. I'm not even playing with you. Oh. Best General Tso's chicken you'll ever
now have. See, that's my dish.
Yeah.
And I get mad because I have to keep, like, every time I call an order by the place from the place by my house.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Remember me? I'm the guy that when I say hot, I mean hot.
Oh no. That,
like I'm not looking for like Caucasian hot. No, like,
no. They got you, man. They don't play over there.
I got
so,
your
yeah.
place, Dave. I'll take all right. you there. Yeah, Ipsy.
So when I was on my way there, I passed by the studio and I was like, man, that's an interesting concept. I was telling Dave this at the event, you know, I felt like it was a really good idea. Read up on you guys, and so I
and contacted us anyway.
Yeah,
right.
There we go. I took a leap. So, so yeah, our event that we had last Saturday was to kind of kick off our crowdfunding campaign through Seed and Spark, but also to invite some local businesses to be able to come and talk about what they do, and hopefully get some people to network and meet people in different industries.
Yeah, I mean, I want to the guy that owns the Redford Theater
yes.
Was there, and he and I taught for a while. In fact, I think we're going to wind up like doing some work for him.
Yeah.
There was the Detroit. I forget what it was.
Film Society.
Yep. I want to be acting with him, and he's just like he's us for that world.
Yes,
when it comes
yes.
to networking and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh man, he's like, I got people that like that'll come into your studios for voiceover work, and I'm like, oh, we'll line them up.
Yeah.
We're here.
Right. Right. Yeah, he's really well. That's Ted Hauser from,
yep.
from Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we had him. We had Dangerously Delicious Pies. Detroit was there. Had some pies. They dropped them off for us, and we had some the Office Coffee shop. Downtown Royal Oak.
Yeah, yep. Talk to that guy. Yeah,
yeah. So we had some donations that were very nice, and I think you know we had a lot of family and friends that came out that really supported it, and we had a good time. We met a lot of people. So
yeah, it was good. I think I talked to mothers, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandmothers,
there it is.
Grandfathers, and yeah, it was entertaining. Just to, like to hear their take on what was going on and why they were there. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So in terms of, I guess, give me a picture of like what kind of films are you making? Is this kind of like, I mean, starting off with like Kevin Smith with Clerks, and you're using all your one-liners and jokes with your boys, or
this one?
I guess, how are you structuring these, or what
so
do you want?
This is our first feature that we're doing. We've done some shorts and we've done some spec commercials, but this is our first feature, and it's a drama, and we want to start with this one. But we've written a few comedies. We have both of us are working on separate superhero movies that we want to kind of meld in together. We'll see how that works. I got to see what he's working with on his, and we'll see how that gels. But you know, we like it all. You know, we don't discriminate on genre, except for maybe horror. I'll go watch a horror movie, but right. I don't know if I want to really make one.
Horror movies are almost comedy these days.
They are.
Yeah. Splatter, splatter, gore.
Right. Take a shower.
Right.
Oh my God, there's a guy. Run upstairs.
Yeah. Die. Look, there's a couple having sex. They're dead.
Yeah. Right.
The virgin, dead.
Dead virgin, dead. Yeah. I'll be right back, dead.
Right. Yeah, so. And the other thing is that my wife doesn't like horror movies, so I'm like, I want to make things that she'll want to see. And then she'll
continue
won't
yell at you while you're making
it. Well, you know. Yeah.
Magic Mike.
See, now that's the thing. Like, I always talk about, you know, Dave and I always talk about how all movies are going to member berries. And I rented John Wick 2 this weekend, and I was angry that the movie's phenomenal. Keanu Reeves was just stone cold cool. But, like, one of the scenes.
Things you don't hear very often for 500, Alex.
Right. But one of the scenes was like, dude, this is like the Warriors, like, cut for cut.
Oh,
like, he's got to make it across town. He's got a hit out on him, and he's got to go through all the different gangs. And then the ending was Enter the Dragon.
Okay,
spoiler alert.
But how many people have seen those two movies that are watching John Wick 2?
I don't know. But, like,
Conan
the Destroyer. I was angrier if it was Conan the Destroyer or Enter the Dragon at the end. It was almost identical. And just, like, it's so hard right now to come up with
original
ideas.
Enter the Dragon or The Last Dragon?
Enter the Dragon.
Okay.
The mirror room
scene. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, how it's got to be so – because, like, when we were talking about doing stand-up comedy, and all I would do is do George Carlin and Dangerfield lines. Like, it's so hard to come up with original stuff these days. How are you doing that?
And the beats are similar as far as, like, you watch something, you learn the story structure, you know, what you learn in class, what you learn from watching it. Just kind of feeds into.
It's like a country music song. Exactly. Line for line, it's identical. It's just different words.
It's just kind of natural that way. And the other thing is that when you start writing something, you notice you kind of leaning to those conventions, and you really have to work against it.
Well, it was one of the interviews that happened at Motor City Comic Con. Was with I'm completely blanking on his name, but he wrote a new Oz graphic novel, like Wizard of Oz. And he said he went back and he read nothing but Baum's work, you know, all the 12 or 13 books that Baum wrote about Oz, and read nothing else. Didn't watch any other, you know, didn't watch any of the movies. And he said that's what happens. He's like, his things bleed in, and it's not consciously that it happens. It's just that your brain goes, oh yeah, I liked that. We should do that.
That's why I always joked that I go, I want the one movie where the bad guy. Goes off with the good guy's girl, like kills a good guy, right? Just like just throw me off, like, you know, the cheap guy in wrestling beats Hulk Hogan for
the
championship.
Wasn't that real life? Wasn't it really what happened in Marked for Death when Steven Seagal gets shot, put in a coma?
I never watched Marked for Death. I don't watch Seagal movies, but like that's why I liked American Psycho, just because it completely deviated from the film.
But from, in order to do that, you have to consciously go against everything that your body and your filmmaking prowess is teaching you, right? And the other thing is, you go to test this thing, you shoot it, you might shoot that ending that you're talking about where everything goes right for the bad guy, and test it with people in the crowd and audiences, and they hate it.
Right.
And then you're like, well, now you have a choice to make. Do I want to follow what people like, or do I want to do what's up to me and what I like and what feels natural to me? And that's filmmaking. If you want to, stay true to yourself or be like everyone else, that's what you have to figure out.
So they needed to tell Star Wars from the point of view of the laser guy on the Death Star. Like, I think that would be amazing. Like, just following, going home to the wife and kids, mine is just doing his job. And then,
what show did that? Legion. They did that on Legion. They
you're right. They did.
They followed that henchman. I don't remember his name, the actor, but they kind of followed him home.
Yeah.
You met his family and all that. And then after he gets his butt whooped,
lunch pail. Hey, Ralph. Hey,
morning, Joy. Ralph. Morning, Sam.
What'd your wife make for you? Goddamn PB&J again, bitch. That'd be a great Star Wars movie. Just the lunchroom scene.
Yeah, the two guys that are hanging there with no railing,
right,
watching the megawatt laser go cruising by.
That doesn't burn them alive,
right?
So basically, like a Star Wars version of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Perfect. Yes.
So talk to me about the movie you got coming out.
So that's the movie that we're working on right now.
Yeah, because there was a clip that got shown.
Yeah, so that was our proof of concept. We actually shot that about a year ago in Detroit downtown. We had some friends that had a sweet apartment that I was like, yo, let me shoot this apartment. And they're like, okay, cool. You just keep it clean and, don't do anything wrong in
here. Please don't trash my apartment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they were very gracious and let us use it. And, it was a really, really nice shoot. We had our DP come in from New York, Callie Riley. She's an MPI grad. But she's working.
Oh, yeah, she was there Saturday.
Her mom was there.
Oh, okay.
So her mom came out. Callie was going to be here next week, actually, shooting a film. I don't know the name of it, but she's going to be shooting something, so we're actually going to link up. So she came into town, helped me shoot it, and we had a really good time. The only bad thing was that, Detroit has that whole parking situation where you got to do
your
phone or whatever. Well, we got lucky. There were spaces. But I was like, yo, I'm going to produce this, so I'm going to pay everyone's parking. I'm going to do that. And you can do that, but I was also doing other things and I lost track of it. So that's $45 a pop for everyone's car.
It's as opposed to $2.
Exactly.
Right.
So my wife now, every time we go into Detroit, she's like, hey, look.
I know you want to be the man.
Exactly. I need you to figure this out ahead of time. And so, but
here's,
anyway,
here's your checklist. Yeah. Yeah,
for sure. So it was, but yeah, so we shot it and we edited it pretty quickly. And then we decided we wanted to rewrite the script like 4 to 5 times. It was just like one of those processes. And then actually.
Well, so I mean, is that a challenge when it comes to like making a movie like that?
Yeah.
I mean, Bob will tell you, like, just me with these studios, I am always finding something to play around with,
yes,
or rewire or upgrade or update or tweak or this or that.
Yes.
I would think that happens constantly when you're trying to make a film too, but that's got to be a pain in the ass because you have to cement that crap at some point.
Absolutely. And our situation was interesting because – so JB and I, we came up with the bones of the story. We then took it to our first writer, Michael Smith. He's from Royal Oak. And he gave us our first couple drafts. And then we took it for him because we wanted to, kind of inject ourselves into it a little bit more. And JB has written every version since. And we kept a lot of what Michael did, but we've rejiggered it a little bit. And that's just, like you said, it's a lot of tweaking. You read a version and you're like, it's not so much individual lines, but it's like the flow and where the story is going.
Right.
It's
not quite what I had in mind.
Yeah. Because when you get on set, half the time you're gonna shoot what you wrote down, but you're gonna end up changing stuff. Somebody's gonna say something a particular way. You're gonna be like, I like that.
That's better.
So you try not to focus too much on the lines when you're doing the rewrites, or at least that's our process.
Yeah.
So. So yeah, that's where we are with the scripts. At least we finally got to a point that we really liked it, and that's when we were able to bring in our executive producer Heidi Phillipson Meisner. She was there at the event as well. And
that's what I was thinking of. That's so what
she,
I was talking
she was
to.
The first woman that spoke, and you know. Once she came on, we were like, all right, so we're not the only ones that like this. Okay, maybe we got something.
Right.
So
is the only reason, actually willing to put a little money in this.
Is the only reason you invited him here is to make friends with him so you could have like a bit part like you just did in Otis Files?
Let's go. Let's do it.
I'm all in.
He got the bug. Absolutely. We filmed a scene here but then they got me. I was on the couch just hanging out, and they actually like zoomed in on me.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm between you see Bob, just some guy.
I guess I got a huge crowd pop. I didn't even go because I wasn't in the movie and I couldn't make it anyway. Like, I was in the credits, Bob as himself.
Do you have an IMDb account?
I have producer credits from something prior.
Yeah, from the wrestling thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Now, what you should have told them to put you in is Big Sexy. That's what you should have.
That's Kevin Nash. I can't steal his name.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So where do people find out more about this and how do they get involved? I mean, obviously, like you said, you were kicking off the fundraising Kickstarter kind of thing. So like where do people find out more and get deep dive?
So there's two places. So the first place is seedandspark.com. You can search for our movie called Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N. There you'll find everything, all the incentives, the wish list. The way it's actually a really good site because what they do is it shows our pitch video and it shows the kinds of things that we need help with. Like, for instance, we need a grip truck. We need lights. We need tables. You can donate those items. You don't even have to donate just money. You can donate items and services.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
So we can get in-kind donations. And
can we donate it to make it a one-off movie about Solomon Grundy?
Grundy smash.
Which would be amazing. He needs his own movie. Let's make that happen.
Oh, come on now. Now I gotta go back to the drawing board. Come on now, you're trying to make it hard on me. But yeah, so you can go on there and find out more information about how to give to us. And once, even though we obviously will take money any way that you can to help us make this film. But we like Seed and Spark. They've been really good to us. They're really good about keeping the money going the right place and helping us keep track of who's helping out. So, you know, you'll get updates from us all the time. We'll annoy the crap out of you with updates and videos. And I'm going to update them about this. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're really building a community through Seed and Spark to be able to fund our movie.
As opposed to, say, the RoboCop statue, guys.
Yes.
Put up the damn statue.
When is that supposed to happen?
3 years ago.
Oh, God.
They've already been to, like, Punta Cana 17 times.
Doing research.
Right. Had to find the vision.
And where's the other place?
The other place is our film website, solomonfilmdetroit.com. And it's got our pitch video and our proof of concept on
and I assume
there.
There's a link there to the scene spark.
Yes, there
thing.
Is. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We're all connected in there, so awesome. Either one is good.
All right, well, dude, thanks for stopping by.
Oh,
I mean, I know it was
so
kind of last minute,
thanks
and it was,
yeah,
but it was,
no,
dude, it was a great thing on Saturday. It was a ton of fun.
No, for real. Like I said, man, right around the corner in my favorite Chinese spot. You know, I can't. You know, you guys are.
See, now that you're probably going to be running into me there.
I know. That's good.
Dave Hines, appreciate coming out. Valiant Films. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back. Corey Russell, Fan World. This is the IT and the D Show,
and we'll be right back.
IT and the D, read, meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. This is the IT in the D Show segment 3, episode 201, live here, Podcast Detroit, Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Randy, I do the Twitters. We're all drinking delicious Zima beverages. Find us online. IT.
We're going to party like it's 1994.
Right. I heard Jolly Ranchers in it.
Someone put on Facebook putting sprees in them are amazing.
No, Jolly Ranchers. Green Jolly Ranchers.
Is that like Diet Coke and Mentos?
I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know.
I was like, we could, like, are nerds an acceptable substitute?
No.
There were a couple nerds.
No, because you choke on
them. What is this nerds?
What is this nerds?
Find us online, itmed.com, and read all of our blogs and hit up all of the meet page. That's MEET to find out where we're meeting up. And yeah.
When I think of companies that I do business with them based on my customer experience. Everybody sells the same stuff.
Pretty much.
And basically for the same price. But you start thinking about how that company makes you feel when you do business with them as why you do business with them. And that's basically customer experience is the competitive edge in today's digital economy. And so Couchbase Engagement Database is the only database specifically designated to deliver brilliant experiences that keep modern customers coming back for more. Old school transactional and analytical databases can't deliver the exceptional experiences customers expect today, much less than the ones they'll demand tomorrow. But the Couchbase data platform is built on the most powerful NoSQL technology to give your web, mobile, and Internet of Things apps unparalleled agility, manageability, and performance at any scale. You can learn more at couchbase.com/IT in the D. Only the Couchbase engagement database is designed to deliver even richer and more personalized customer experiences as your business innovates and grows. It supports millions of interactions while easily adapting to changing business requirements. It's always on and always fast with consistent high performance and built-in fault tolerance. It keeps your data secure everywhere. It has built-in smarts for highly personalized engagement. It's right at home on premises, in the cloud, or as a hybrid. And it gives users a seamless, amazing, and always-on mobile experience. Ready to revolutionize your customer experience? Learn more at couchbase.com/IT in the D.
Your voice is so thrashed.
I've been yelling at hippies all week. Get off my damn lawn, you hippies.
Put some pants on.
I did not scream that once, even though I should have.
So we got Corey Russell in the house, proprietor of Fan World. Every time you say that, I either think of...
And the director of the Niagara Falls, New York Chamber of Commerce.
Oh.
Niagara Falls, New York.
He's the director of the COP.
There's a sale this week at Fan World.
Oscillating ceiling, any fans you want. They're going fast.
Wacky inflatable, aren't we?
So how did you get involved doing a – I guess let's start off with what Fan World and how you got involved going out to Niagara Falls.
Well, yeah, because we got to know you from YomaCon and Midwest Media Expo. That's how you kind of came to, you know, to our radar. And then you started talking about this whole thing out in Niagara Falls.
Yeah. I first had the idea actually when I was locally at my favorite Chinese food restaurant.
Is it the same one in Royal Oak?
No, it was Kroger. Oh. Now, I've had this idea for a little while. That's actually where I'm from. When you have a major tourist destination like the Niagara Falls itself, with Canada right there, United States right there, and there's no real big nerd event that's really taking advantage of it other than just one specifically on the Canadian side, which is Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Jay goes there from Elegant Weapon all the time, every year. Yeah. Yep.
So we have the American side there that has amazing things, as well as obviously the Canadian side and everything from helicopter rides, the Maid of the Mist or the Horn Blower, if you know the parts that go right up there. You've got water parks. You've got casinos galore up there.
That's where bizarre town.
Hey, man, Niagara Falls, that's where I got addicted to roulette. That's where the bug first bit me. And where I learned how to play roulette. The casinos are great.
Mm-hmm. It's little – the Canadians refer to it basically as their little Vegas, which is called Clifton Hill right there on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. And when you have this one place that within, you know, 1 mile total radius, you can walk from, you know, the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum and stuff like that. And then now you're in this big, beautiful park overlooking like the Horseshoe Falls or something like that. It's just this wonderful location where – you don't need to worry about driving 20 minutes down the road to see one aspect of it. You can just park for 3 days.
Yeah, just leave your hotel room and go walk and you're good. Yeah,
absolutely. It's just beautiful. You can make a day, a weekend, whatever out of it, perfectly honest, and walk across the border, walk up, get drunk, walk back across the border, get drunk some more. And that man was Dante Bosco last year.
Okay.
So basically we had this idea.
How'd that work out?
Oh, my God. You know that the man from the movie Hook with Robin Williams there, Dante Bosco, he played Rufio, you know, the Lost Boys there. So he came out last year. That was an experience. I don't think I saw him sober for 3 days. He woke up and
– So it's Motor City Comic Con.
Yeah, right. But the funny aspect of it was he'd walk out of the hotel room. He'd do something. Hey, everybody. Hey. Yeah, in his Rufio voice. And walk across the border with a gaggle of usually like women and some other bros. And then he'd come back drinking some other stuff with a completely different gaggle of bros and women. And then back again. I saw him cross the border with different groups of people at 3 a.m. sometimes. I guess it was just that much of a party for him. And we had a ball last year. It was, you know, guests and so on and so forth. Oh, we have a selfie. Time to pose for the selfie.
No, just keep talking.
Okay. So we're also a very very inexpensive event. Obviously, some of our staff have worked with everywhere from YomaCon and East Coast and so forth. We have a $30 price tag for all 3 days, you know, to come and enjoy all of the events. And the $30, even if you don't even just go to the convention at all, the $30 gets you so many discounts. It's not even funny, like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% off everything from the world's largest aviary to North America's largest indoor water park and resort to the pizza place and the ice cream place and the helicopter ride over the falls and everything. So it's really just a tourist paradise. And if you're a nerd, oh, hell, it's over the top for you.
Now, what differentiates what FanWorld's doing versus, I guess, your Comic Cons, pretty much all the things that we're kind of used to seeing. I know YomaCon and Midwest kind of take a different spin on it. But
actually, speaking of which, I totally forgot to look back for an update. Did you pay attention to the Salt Lake City Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con trademark
negative
lawsuit thing?
No, I haven't seen a thing ever.
Simply put, what separates us, obviously what you're alluding to with YomaCon and Midwest Media Expo, is the very fan-friendly events. You pay a reasonable price. You come in for the weekend. You have full access to pretty much all of the events and all of the sights, the sounds, and free autographs, of course, from all of the guests. That's pretty much one of those rare trademarks that YomaCon and Midwest Media Expo expose.
You don't have to spend $300 and stand in line for 3 hours?
Yep. I just remember John St. John pouring me a glass of tequila. Not a shot of, you know, he poured me a glass of tequila and said he wanted to hang out and chat more.
So, yeah, by the way, we have a little bit of a bingo game going when we were talking with Morgan earlier. Whenever you bring up John St. John and alcohol, that was one of the things that we were looking for today. So thank you for
Circle
that.
Circle gets the square. Yeah.
And then Ian calling me Bob St. Bob. And
Bob St. Bob, absolutely. Right. Dave St. Dave, I remember that. Okay. So obviously, we're a very fan-friendly event. While some of our guests still may charge for autographs or photos, we have it very much capped at a $20 max, and most of our guests don't charge at all. So we still try and make it very fan-friendly, $30 ticket. You might drop a 20 here or there for somebody you really want to meet their autograph, but you spend the entire weekend in concerts. We have a lot of concerts this year, panels and dealers' rooms and artists. And,
so, like, when you say concerts, like what kind of?
Now, last year we had like a couple of dances planned. That's kind of run of the mill. This year we just decided to go all out. It's basically when it's nightfall in Niagara Falls, we have concert after concert going. We have. First off, do you know the delightful Harp Twins? You may remember them from
actually,
the year
yes,
you were at Midwest
them.
Media
yeah.
Expo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They were
– I remember.
I remember. They're coming out for 3 concerts over the weekend. They're great. They do everything from – like they'll just play out like Pantera or something like that.
Which are
their
twins who play the harp. That's
literally. No, well, 2 harps.
What?
It's well, they have 2 different
well, of course,
harps. It's not 2 girls, 1 harp here.
2 girls. That's a pretty good one, though.
Yeah, it is.
There you go. You'd watch it.
Of course I would.
So, I mean, they play everything from Pantera to the Walking Dead theme to, like, here's the Sailor Moon theme, and now we're going to play Zelda music and stuff like that. So they have something for really everybody. They're going to be doing 3 concerts over the weekend, again, all with the $30 price tag for the full weekend, full of concerts. The Friday night of the event, which is July 21st through 23rd, is going to be – you're going to have a Mystery Skulls if you're familiar with them. It's more of a probably sub-25 crowd, but they're really, really popular on YouTube. Probably something if you guys care about, you know, pull up, you know, between sessions. But it's kind of like a synth pop guy from the West Coast. He became really popular with some of the Tumblrites and stuff like that. But so that's actually probably the most popular concert we have. There's just kids coming from all over for that, Ohio and Pennsylvania and Massachusetts and stuff like that already.
Well, it's not – if you look at Niagara to here, it's what? It's not even a 3.5-hour drive.
I don't know. I drove it like 3 hours earlier today.
It got to be the most boring drive I've ever done, but it's, you know.
Yeah. No one's going to pull you over. You can outrun the horses.
Right, right. But I mean, it's a quick drive. It's not like it's not far to get there. You could, you know, go to Grand Rapids probably the same time.
Right. So, yeah, from Detroit, you can pretty much get to FanWorld here in Niagara Falls in 3 hours just straight across. So, we also, this was also maybe someone you remember from the Midwest Media Expo days a few years ago. We're bringing back a familiar face, Mr. Akira Yamaoka from Japan, the actual composer of the entire Silent Hill series, including the first movie. So he's done some other Konami titles, some of the Contra music and stuff like that. But obviously his bread and butter is, well, Silent Hill, like all of the games – the movie and so forth. So he's going to come out. He's going to play some of the music. People are going to be probably lining up all the way around the block with soundtracks and stuff for him to sign. He's a free signature person, by the way. So it's really great to have. We have a very world-renowned German cosplayer, and then we have directors from Canada, and we have composer from Japan. We're really bringing the world together for this event.
Now, so is the con strictly on the U.S. side? Does it span both sides? What's the scoop?
Well, we did that a little bit last year where we did the both
other than
sides.
You know the drunken staggering back and forth across.
That's
the
always fun. I'm pretty sure he had no idea what country he was in half the time. So. We're actually consolidating mostly to the American side. It was a little spread out last year for a growing convention. Vendors, you want to obviously
right.
have more, you know, consolidation in that respect. The Saturday, the 22nd of July, we're going to still be using the venue on the Canadian side to bring all of our Canadian friends down, give them a special price, you know, just kind of put guest after guest after guest over there to make it say, hey, we didn't forget you guys. But all 3 days, American side, convention center that's right by the falls. So
right.
it's free parking. It's free Wi-Fi. It's got really inexpensive hotels in our special block. You know, food discounts everywhere. You can just have really the ball time of your life, honestly. If you've never been to the falls, there's really no better excuse than to do this. And we've got more guests, too, to talk about, too.
We stayed at the top floor of the Marriott when we went to the falls, and our entire hotel window was the falls. Like a giant – like almost like a painting. Like you walk in the room and all you saw was falls from left to right. And it was like, this is the coolest room I've ever stayed in. You know, other than – like Vegas is always cool with the lights.
Mm-hmm.
But this was what – you know, took the keg.
Maybe I missed it, but like how's that work with like back and forth between Canada and the U.S.? Is there like
we a followed them rules?
Is there a turnstile? It's like welcome to Canada,
well, there's
welcome
the
to
bridge.
The U.S.
There's the commuter bridge. There's the Rainbow Bridge. You can drive across. It has a pedestrian section. You walk across and pay your 50 cents each way, your dollar total. You do have to go through the customs process, which is actually a lot more lenient than most people realize. We had one of our guests of
honor. If they're allowing drunken, stumbling crowds of people,
cosplayers
through.
With giant weapons,
clearly
and swords. And
I bet more people love.
We did not have a single arrest or any sort of issue with any of the attendees last year. Going back and forth, full costumes, full makeup, giant weapons, intoxication of all ages. So it seemed to work as long as you follow the rules. We had one of our guests of honor walked across with a birth certificate back and forth last year.
Nice. So you have to have basically enhanced identification, a passport, or something that proves your nationality and place of birth, right?
Absolutely. Cool. Basically, for example, if you're an American and you're trying to get over to the Canadian side, the Canadians want to pretty much know two things. First off, they can confirm who you are. And number two, you're not proving any sort of threat.
And number three, you don't have any firewood or apples. Right?
Seeds.
No. No.
Yeah, no foliage. No foliage. No vegetation, guys.
Hey.
So intoxication, that's one thing. But you got to leave those plums at home. So no, they just want to make sure that you are who you say you are and you're not going to provide any risk. You're not going to come out. You're not drug dealing. You're not doing any secret business. You're not going to end up destitute and they have to pay to send you home or anything like that. So as long as you got those two covered, you're generally safe. Just to be safe entirely, however – www.fanworld.us or fanworld.ca, and there's a tab specifically addressing border crossings. That's, follow them rules.
That's so awesome. I mean, this is – I remember when you guys were on last year talking about this, and this is like a first truly international con, right?
I don't think it is Fandom's multinational convention.
That's
I don't believe
so
anybody's
cool.
ever really done anything this stupid. I
Two
mean,
countries.
This wonderful.
Two
yes.
countries, one weekend, one amazing show.
Yep.
No, but the one thing I always remember from your old shows is the concerts, and they weren't just like a couple dudes. This was like rock. This was like full blown.
Yeah, no, they were really great, outstanding, amazing concerts
that was
scheduled
like
right across from
our panel
discussion.
Hey, we got three. We got this huge room. Three people show up.
I stopped in that room. I remember.
Yeah.
And then I went to the concert.
Right.
Yeah, we had like eight.
Yeah. And yeah, other guests that we've got coming out, probably not the demographic here for it, but it is now the 25th anniversary for the actual series Sailor Moon. Obviously, that means a lot of people, a lot of things to a lot of people. It just happens that the two big directors of the North American release both live within driving distance, so they're both coming out for the big thing, as well as one of the voice actors, who's also a voice actor of many, many, many other series, other big characters like Natsu and Soul Eater, or I mean Fairy Tail and stuff like that, would be the Todd Haberkorn. He's also going to be there as one of the as one of our voice acting guests, along with the Mr. Christopher Robin Miller, who I don't know if you guys ever drank with that man over at Midwest Media Expo or anything, YomaCon or something.
Probably.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably.
He is a wonderfully bearded, very nice Mormon man from Utah who's also the voice of Professor Layton from the video game series.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yes. He's not allowed to drink. He's Mormon.
He's not allowed to do it. Anyway, so.
That's why he does so many cons. Ah.
There you go. Yeah, what happens in Utah stays in Utah. So.
Right.
So we've got a lot of voice actors. We've got a lot of musical acts from different genres. It's not just the same genre over and over again. You got twins on harps. We've got arm cannon.
Let's just be honest. You've got hot twins on harps. I mean, they're the hot twins.
I mean, the harp twins. Yeah.
They're really, really, yeah.
Now that you mention it, they do seem rather attractive.
Yes, they do. Yeah,
we're going to play the harp. Just don't bother. Just stand there. Just stand
there. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we've got Arm Cannon, which is a Great Lakes region cover group that does like a lot of video game covers and some like interesting interpretations of some of the music they kind of jam. They're going to be opening up, I believe, on the Saturday for Mr. Akira Yamaoka and what he'll be doing from Silent Hill fame. We've got German cosplayers coming out. Last year we had Australian ones. We're just trying to really bring the world together. And actually we looked at the demographics at the end of last year. We had fans attending from Turkey, Russia, at least two other European, Eastern European nations, Great Britain.
See, it's
we
not
had
all
Mexico and Argentina. And so we really had something like 12 or 13 different countries, and that's not even counting
cool.
Japan and Australia where we had guests come out as well. So basically a lot of people are saying, you know, let's take the family trip in the summer. Let's go to Niagara Falls. When you're the director of the Chamber of Commerce, you find a lot of people who want to ask you questions at all time of the night about
right.
that sort of thing. So,
especially calling from different time zones around the world.
Oh,
right.
Absolutely. Where's a good place to eat? I don't know. Where are you calling from right now? Oh, Bolivia. Okay, that's awesome. So
when you land, there's this thing called Yelp. You should download
absolutely.
It.
So basically, it's just a crazy idea that actually seems to be reasonably working out. It's a low cost. It's one of those bucket list locations. I mean, let's be honest. And of course,
I mean, that's a place that everybody should get to
at least once, really. So what better excuse is there than when there's a big media, mixed media, gaming, animation, comic, sci-fi, fantasy, internet, fandom event? So why not do that? So you can have the parents can go down the street and go take pictures and learn about, you know, Nikola Tesla and all the work he did there while the kids are just kind of, you know, dancing until they pass out. So.
And those weird wax museums where you swear three of them are real.
I love the meme that's floating around. If you're driving a stolen Tesla, is it called an Edison?
Ooh.
It's a little dirty.
Like
a little
dirty.
That was good.
And your favorite, I remember, we will be returning with our alpaca and llama petting zoo. It was a fantastic, phenomenal success last year.
That's where we get the llamas.
Yes, no, we're doing slow llamas in Detroit. We're going to get like a parade of llamas every Tuesday.
And then instead of horns, we'll just have the old, like, we'll have MP3 players that play the old Winamp. Really whips the llama's
yes.
ass.
I was hoping that was coming.
Do they make noises? Cause, like, can you like goose them and they're like, rrr.
Like, they're not tauntauns.
Actually, I'm going to blow your minds on this one. We actually had a surprise last year. It wasn't only alpacas and llamas. We were introduced to Buddy the Lapaca.
What's a lapaca?
The charity petting zoo, the NPO petting zoo that actually brings these out, which is called Lakeview Sanctuary in Western New York, brought, in addition to the alpacas and llama, a lapaca. It is a hybrid, and it was big and fluffy.
So is it like a mule? Or is it, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty.
What's the difference between a llama and
alpaca?
Oh.
The spitting.
The right. spitting. Oh, I guess, apparently that's what it is. I don't know. All I know is I want Tuesdays in Detroit. We're going to have an alpaca parade.
Llama roll.
So we should subscribe to llamafacts.com because the llama is roughly twice the size of the alpaca. And llamas have long banana shaped ears, while alpacas have shorter spear shaped ears.
Didn't we have someone wound up, something wound up following us when we were over at the Ferndale studio? I think it was the last time we were talking about that, like the Llama
Alpaca
Foundation.
Detroit.
Oh, yeah, that's who it was. Alpaca Detroit. Yeah.
Because I believe Bob looked it up during the last time I was on here and started following, and then they followed back.
And then Randy started tweeting at them, and then, yeah, that's how all the bad things happened.
Whatever happened to them? We should have an alpaca
they were
show like in our parking lot.
Dude, I would, yes.
Family day.
I would pet it and finish my sentence. But, yes, we should totally do that.
So we find you fanworld.ca.
Dot world, fantastic.
And it's
fanworld.ca for any Canadian information. It's mostly the same, let's be honest. Or fanworld.us, fanworld.us.
And it's July 21st through the 23rd?
Absolutely.
It's 2017?
If you can remember that,
all right, perfect. Perfect.
Fantastic.
Corey, thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. We will talk to you about travel plans. We hope to, very highly to be there.
You hear 3 days of drinking, and all of a sudden,
yeah,
suddenly
we're intrigued. You have to. Yeah. So, hey, this is going to wrap things up for episode 201. We'd like to thank our guest, Dave Hines from Valiant Films, Corey Russell from Fanworld. Also, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Norton, Dollar Shave Club, Audible, Couchbase. It's going to wrap things up on behalf of Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG, and Randy. I do the Twitters. Do us all a favor and drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run! The run!
Game over, man! Game over!
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
Nothing is over! You just don't turn it off!
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so...
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill! You need to cool that shit out! And that's the double truth, Ruth!
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city.
I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.